Hello and welcome to Tongues of Fire, Pastor Paul's podcast, episode 277, part 2, the conclusion to Mount 6. Today is Sunday, January 27th, 2013.
There must be some way out of here, said the Joker to the thief. There's too much confusion, I can't get no relief. Businessmen, they drink my wine, plowmen dig my earth. None of them along the line know what any of it is worth. The thief, he kindly spoke. There are many here among us who feel that life is but a joke. But you and I, we've been through that, and this is not our fate. So let us not talk falsely now, the hour is getting late. Tower, princes kept the view, while all the women came and went, barefoot servants too. Outside in the distance, a wild cat did growl. Two riders were approaching, the wind began to howl.
Isn't Jim peculiar? He certainly is a peculiar person. And those two young boys he's with, aren't they young men? Aren't they peculiar? Aren't they strange? Isn't he strange? He goes every night, seven nights a week, on the hobo bus. What a peculiar person. I wonder what's wrong with him. And that's what people mean a lot of times. And they say, well, I have to give you a lot of credit. And then they turn their back. I sure wouldn't do it. God. 7 nights a week, 366, 65 days a year, according with leap year, 366. Not me. I sure do appreciate you a lot, brother. But let somebody say, one bad word after all of those good works and all those things that you're doing, and one bad word, and everybody's going to want to believe it because they're under conviction themselves for not doing anything. Nothing. You ready for it? Did you know that Jim took a hobo and picked him up by the nape of the neck and gave him a drop kick out the door? It was just terrible. And then the story grows. And then I heard that he went out and busted his head in the cement. Oh, and that's not all. And then I heard he rolled over him with a bus and backed up to make sure he was dead. And all the time I knew there was something strange about that guy. Hey, that's what people do. You think that's a gross exaggeration? Not at all. Not at all. We hate people that convict us. And so we have to sit at Perkins and talk about it. Well, I don't agree with these pink socks that girls are wearing. I just think they are outlandish. ungodly and I hate them. Who cares what you hate? You hate everything. Pink stockings, blue stockings, orange, you hate everything. See, because you're not doing nothing, folks. You're not busy. You're not the Beatitudes. You got the wrong attitude. And it'll show up when there's a chance to put the knife in somebody. It'll show up. I know it. Goose steppers. How many are hearing this? Now we're getting down to the nitty-gritty here. We're getting down to the nitty-gritty. Whoop, way down. Isn't there a song like that? Something nitty-gritty? I think there is. They'll call you peculiar as the end comes, as the toilet bowl of the world overflows with stinking filth like never before. It will make people, some people, hunger and thirst after righteousness. People, just keep a keeping on. My mother used to tell me that every time I'd slack. Just keep a keeping on. Sure, you're going to be hated, but don't compromise. Some, I believe, there are some out there that will want a complete gospel of liberty and freedom and love, and that's why I keep keeping on. Glory to God. We're going to have to go back to the simple gospel message of Jesus Christ. All else is sunk. But of course, the majority is going to hate you. I don't care how moral they are either. We found out how much love a lot of times we have. We can tag ourselves this or that, but when it comes right down to it, if we don't have love, we're a gong, a clanging cymbal. Jesus said, if ye were of the world would love its own. But because ye are not of the world, but I have chosen you out of the world, therefore the world hateth you. Preachers, people, have you been chosen? Then you're going to be hated. See, I believe the vital Christian causes opposition because he is a constant reminder of selflessness. He doesn't get into himself. He reminds others of their selfishness, of their endless debates, vain discussions. And the Bible says, enter not into vain discussions about the Word of God, and don't get into wrestling matches with the Word. Wrestle the Scriptures, it says, to your own destruction. And so every man that walks in the power of Christ lives out, I'm talking about the Beatitudes, convicts people, threatens them, challenges them, makes them feel mighty uncomfortable. I think we'll win some, but we'll worry some, and we'll offend some. And if the world feels completely comfortable around you, you have not been announcing or doing the good news. Well, I think it's because it might ruin our good times sometimes. When we do that, it always leaves us with a bad conscience, doesn't it? Elijah never did say one word to the widow about her sinful life. He didn't have to. But he did rebuke her by what he was. She asked, though, art thou come unto me to call my sin to remembrance? He hadn't said anything about that. See, the vital Christian rebukes the sinful by what he does, what he says, and his acts. He stirs up opposition. Not with placards and not with signs and not with Tommy guns, machine guns, not Elliot Nessing it. That doesn't do a thing. It's what you be in your attitude. Not a self-righteous attitude. Oh, I'm not talking about that. Well, maybe you are like that. That'd be fine. But I know everybody isn't like that. No, it's your life and what you're doing and you're going on and your dedication that in the end the drunk is going to come to you and he's going to say, I'm really having a lot of trouble with this alcohol. My liver is shot and this is gone and so on and blah, 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 and so down the line. Jesus says, I didn't come to judge the world. And if you want to judge the world, then you get under the Old Testament and get under the law. But then you live by that law. And there is no man that has ever been saving Jesus Christ that can ever keep the whole law perfectly. Nobody. No one ever will. But if you want to be the judge and the jury, as ye judge, so shall ye be judged in the matter that ye mete it out to others, so shall it be met out to you. And whatsoever that ye sow also shall ye reap. If you won't give out mercy, then you'll see none. If you won't be a peacemaker, then you'll have none. If you won't be meek, then you're going to be the opposite of meek. No, I think the vital Christian then interferes with some of our pleasures. If Jesus would come to Minneapolis tonight, he'd probably escape the cross, barely, but he wouldn't be popular. Do you actually think Jesus would be popular? I think in many of our homes, Jesus would be a thorn. He would not be appreciated if he were to be our guest for 1 week. Wouldn't that upset our schedules? Huh? Bibles would be placed on every table. Hurried up Bible underlining. Get the pencils out. Underline this scripture. Underline that scripture. What if the master opens up the Bible? Wrinkle the pages up a little bit. Ooh, make them look old. How do we make them look old and used? Well, let's underline this one here. Nothing can separate us from the love of God. That's a good one. We are more than conquerors through Christ. Underline that one. Get the marker pen out. Yellow line it. And I think these refrigerators with 24-hour demands for God to hand over pink Cadillacs would come down too. Statues of Mary would go in the closet because we're to do everything in the name of Jesus. There is no other name, the Bible says, by which man shall be saved. Beads would disappear. Books would be burnt. Magazines would be tossed. Hurried up phone calls to warn friends not to come over. Oh, hello, Jimmy. Look, something's come up. I won't be able to go out with you tonight. No, my parents didn't tell me that. They wouldn't dare tell me not to go out. Listen, Jesus is going to be at our house tonight. I'm emptying out all of the drawers, checking under the mattresses, throwing out our ashtrays. I burnt my Dear Diary, the Inquirer magazines are burnt, and the Buddha flower pot isn't there anymore. All my rock posters, I had to get rid of all of that. My mother's wardrobe looks like 1920. What's that? Jimmy, you think maybe you should turn your life over to Christ? Don't be stupid. You're young. It's just a... Don't panic! Don't panic! See, people want to be saved. People want to be saved. They're looking to be saved. And they want Christ right now, and they're tired out. I venture to say right now there's a lot of people. And it's so sad. The trick of the devil. With AIDS, ready to receive Jesus Christ. People, and let's say different lifestyles, that are ready to receive Jesus Christ. I watched a commentary the other night, and a woman was dying of AIDS she had contacted from her husband. And she was talking to a group of young people, and fear was all over their faces. Were they ready to receive Jesus? Oh, they were ripe. All things are working together for good for them that love the Lord and are called according to His purpose. Aren't we in a mess? Pretty soon you'll have to wear a gauze mask. No more kissing. No. You dare kiss this person or that person. You never know. Huh? Steam clean your dishes. Hmm? Never use any restrooms out there. Oh, no, stay away from the restrooms. I think the world is ready for Jesus Christ. They're not ready for a whole lot of nonsense. And they're not ready for a whole lot of legalism. And what you think and what you think is wrong and right, now, that doesn't have a thing to do with it. We don't need to preach that. We need to talk about your need for Jesus Christ. The end of the world is coming. You need to preach the love of Jesus Christ, not what you think. Well, what do you think of this? Nothing. I don't think about it. What? How about preaching Jesus and just get off of it? Right? Is the world ready for it? They're ready. They said about the silo missiles. Well, what do you think about the silo missiles? What if we did have to fire a lot of them? Would they hit their target? No. Push the button and take your chances. Blow herself up. What was that big rumble down in the earth in the Midwest here? Was it an actual earthquake or did one of them things blow up? I don't know. No, we don't have time to get on people's cases about what nasty, dirty, perverted folks they are, and you got a whole lot of nasty, stinking habits. Well, we all know that. They need Jesus Christ. They don't need your reflecting upon their miserable condition. See, because you're pretty miserable yourself to be passing off that kind of conversation. I think if we'd have taken him on a tour of the city, I think we would avoid certain sections. Plymouth Avenue. Hobo villages all over the United States. Ethiopia, would the church groups all get together and say, well, I'd like to take a trip over to Nigeria or Ethiopia. Will you accompany me? Where were you when I was a sick and a prisoner and a widowed? Where were you when I was a hungered? Well, we didn't know you were any of those things. You just had a big lunch here on the airplane. I'll tell you, in that you haven't done it unto the least of mine, you haven't done it unto me. Where were you? Arguing about some stupid thing? Your opinions? Oh, how we love to argue about things. Who is right and who is wrong? And who's more smarter? Who is the greatest? Didn't they ask that question of Jesus? Each one, they were discussing, the disciples back and forth, who is the greatest amongst us? We wouldn't take him to a church bazaar. Would you take Jesus to a bingo game with beer? A fundraiser for Jesus? Bring your own mix. Oh, those things are hellraisers. How about a 20-minute church service? I gotta get out of here. You guys want 20 minutes. I venture to say a whole lot of conversations wouldn't happen in church. Betty and Agnes? They'd be sitting as stiff as two boards, trying to keep their mind void, which of course would be impossible. Shut up, stop thinking! Did you ever try to stop thinking? Anybody in here ever try to stop thinking? Do you ever have a thought and you didn't want to think it and you told it, I'm not going to think it. I will not think that thought. And you kept having the same thought over and over and over again until you thought, I'm not saved! Well, you didn't save yourself. Jesus saved you. You did a complete job. He's going to take you even with that thought in your head. Some people just flat out just worry themselves to death because they, but I have these dirty thoughts. I do, and I try to get rid of them, and I just squeeze my head. And I wake up in the same thought, because you're thinking that thought. You're thinking about getting rid of that thought. So when it doesn't matter anymore, well, then you won't think it anymore. It's like when you go into a cafe and you start working in the cafe. Boy, you get all the ice cream and pie you want. Kids used to tell me, you know, I worked for my dad's there, and I thought, boy, I'm going to get in there. I'll have pie and ice cream every night. And after about two nights, and they asked me that, I said, how about that pie and ice cream? You get it all the time. He says, I don't want any. It's not a big deal anymore. You just have to get fed up with yourself. I didn't say condemn yourself. Just get fed up with yourself. Fed up with trying to home improve yourself. I will not think that thought. I will not think that thought. Ah! Ah! There it goes again. I will not look at that girl. I will not look at that girl. I will not look at that girl. I will, bam, run right into a tree. You can't improve yourself. It's got to be done by the Spirit. The more you try to do it, the more you mess it up. Now, you know I'm telling the truth on the radio. Come on now. Woo. Conversation in the church bathrooms? There wouldn't be any of them. We'd keep them away from Hennepin Avenue. We'd keep them away from X-rated movies and porno shops and strippers, the ones he came to save. Oh, we can't take the Lord down there. Oh, come this way. Whoops. Oh. Huh? No, we take him to Lake Calhoun. Can't go there. How about Minnehaha Falls? Well, yeah. Well, wait. No. No, can't go take him there. Stop trying to hide places from the Lord. He knows it all. Like trying to hide something within yourself. He knows you. And he still loves you. Remember, he came to save sinners. Can you admit you're a sinner now? You on the radio? Some people have the hardest time. I can't admit. I'm saved, so I'm not a sinner. Well, how come you keep having that same thought over again? You keep screaming at yourself. You're a sinner. You're saved, but you're a sinner. Sorry. You're a saved sinner, okay? But you don't like the ring of that. You just don't like it. I mean, hey, my friends, they see something different about me. They can see I have changed. You've changed. You're not the devil that you once were. Huh? They think you know different. No, I think the vital Christian has G-U-T-Z's guts. He'll interfere with our life by his actions. Jesus, it says, whipped people right out of the temple. Paul was beaten and thrown into jail because he rebuked the slave owners of Philippi. And in Ephesus, he turned them into white, livid rage. He came against their selling of the images of Diana. Oh, Diana, huh? I think Jesus was hard on businesses. And I'm sure many politicians wouldn't want Jesus to check out their bank accounts. Jesus says, then, blessed are ye when men shall revile you and shall say all manner of evil against you falsely for my sake. You shall be called nuts. You should not because of your self-righteousness, because you're a doer. You will be called nuts. You will be called fanatics. You will be lied about. You will be slandered. People will try to destroy your good name. You are building up a name in the name of Jesus, and people will try to ruin that. You call yourself a Christian? Just get mad one time. Is that the Christian attitude? Talking about after that you've come to that point. I think it's great when people do that. And then it gets you back down where you belong. Otherwise, you can get into a flotilla, floating about. A great big air bubble, airhead, floating around. Are you hearing this? Be sure, the Bible says, that slander will come. There will always be those out there that will slander you. So what? And I think this type of persecution will come to all true believers. They are going to find something wrong if it kills them, and it will kill them. They'll be their own worst enemy. Well, it's going to break some people's hearts. Well, what should we do, you ask on the radio? Cut down on our being vital in goodness? You know, just sort of knock it off for a while to try to act like a regular Joe. Should we complain to Jesus? We say, Jesus, it's hard. It's really hard. At school, I'm shunned. At work, they snicker at me and carry on. I feel so alone. I'm like that lonely little petunia in an onion patch, Lord. Will Jesus say, oh, I'm so sorry this is happening to you. It's too bad people act like that towards your goodness. Be patient, they'll get theirs. Will Jesus say that? poor guy, keep a stiff upper lip and all that. Chin up now. I know it's hard. No. He says, let me congratulate you. Well done. Good show. Rejoice and be exceeding glad. Hallelujah. For so persecuted they the prophets which were before you. See, I'm saying that persecution, listen to me, listening on the radio, and I'm not talking about it in a melancholy sense, no way. Because I don't want to go back over to the other side. And I'm talking about the other side in Christianity. See, persecution for the righteousness' sake is nothing to cry about. Nothing to cry about. You should cry if you're not being persecuted. I'm not saying go out and make them persecute you. Just do these things that you see me do, you'll do an even greater things. You'll just do the works of the gospel. And that's not because persecution is good in itself. I'm not saying that. But it is a sign that you're on the right track. Well, does this mean that everybody that's persecuted belongs to the kingdom? No, many are persecuted, not because they're poor in spirit, but because they are proud. But because they are arrogant with loud, trouble-making mouths. They're persecuted not because they're mourning for lost souls, but because they are bellyaching about self causing problems to please themselves. They're persecuted not because they're meek, but because they are pushy and mean and aggressive. They're persecuted not because they hunger and thirst after righteousness, but because they hunger and thirst after evil. They rob a bank or kill for will or something like that. They're persecuted not because they show mercy, but because they show no mercy. They wife beat or they husband beat. Or they are child molesters or killers. They are persecuted not because they are pure in heart, but because they have no heart. They burn down buildings. They put bombs on airplanes for insurance. Not because they are peacemakers, but because they are troublemakers. Some love to be persecuted. They see someone on the street. Sister, hell is waiting for you. I had a woman come in, and she, when we first had our line, and she came to the window, and a little woman come by, and she was just like this, all shriveled up, and you could see that she had been boozing, and her eyes were dark under the eyes, and her lips were all swollen, and she had that sort of a gray sickness with a little bit of yellow in here all over, a liver thing going bad, you know, a young woman. And she goes by, and this woman was standing back there, you know. What have you been doing with your life? I didn't even ask her to go in there and wait on these people. What have you been doing with your life? You look awful. You need to get right with God. You've been in terrible sin. And I said, give me your apron. I didn't ask you to come in here in the kitchen. We're feeding these people, not giving them lectures on how good you are. Furthermore, I says, never enter these doors again and don't come in here and prophesy over people and grab them by the head when they're trying to get some soup down their gut and you're grabbing by the head and tip them over backwards and make sure they fall down under your power. Don't come in here again. Are you hearing this? People don't need that. What they need is the gospel message of Jesus Christ. They don't need your wisdom. And there's so much weirdness going on. Now they have a weirdness where the woman says, yeah, this person takes over my body, and I sit there. And they had it on TV on Good Morning This Morning. And she's sitting there. Did you see that? It's a bunch of junk. And she was charging them like $25 or $50 a day to go on this retreat thing. And another woman is charging $1,000 for a week to go on it. And they take on this, well, even in Christianity, it's a very dangerous, very close line thing. Even in Christianity, they can get into that thing. You hearing this, gals? Gals, are you hearing this? You can get into the same thing. And so this woman, it looks so much like that. This woman says, did you see the whole thing? And this woman says, I told you, and she was speaking through, this person was supposed to be speaking through, and haven't I told you to love, and haven't I told you this? And all of these people and these women are all sitting there just weird, all pasty looking. Ooh, huh? Jesus' name wasn't even mentioned. We have the same thing going on a lot of times in Christianity, borderlining that. Haven't I told you? Haven't this has been said of old? And they go on and on and on. But what are they doing as far as the gospel is concerned? Always learning, but never coming to know Jesus Christ. Something is wrong. Wasn't that awful? You see the same thing in Christianity. Huh? Babes in Christ taken over for another gospel, making them weirdos. Now some love to get into this kind of thing. They love to be persecuted, so they cause it to be persecuted. Like standing on the counter in a cafe, walking up and down while saying grace. Or telling people who don't totally agree with them, hell will be their home. I think it is also that some people are just gluttons for punishment. They love to be punished. See, this persecution I'm talking about right here is for their own righteousness. There's a difference. Being persecuted for your own righteousness so you look good. But when we are persecuted for real righteousness' sake, for Jesus Christ's sake, He's all righteousness. You know what it is? It's because we are a threat to the devil. We have taken on the very character of Jesus Christ. And let me close this message. In Revelations, only the dead and the lukewarm churches were left alone. And so to be persecuted then means you're in a great group. You've joined the ranks of the persecuted prophets who were before you. And your name is going to get honorable mention when you get to heaven. Well done, good and faithful servant. It isn't going to be well done, good and faithful servant. You really told them sinners off. No, you told them off. You wrote them off. You stand in the door so they couldn't even get into heaven's gate. Rejoice because you're fighting. And you're fighting the good fight. All of you in here tonight. Jesus Christ congratulates the persecuted because that's the road to spiritual growth. It's not by difficulties we sneak by, but by difficulties that we face. And are fought and are overcome, that we become strong. A padded pew with a 20-minute ear-tickling message is a good place to meet people. Good place to go to sleep. But it's a very poor place to develop a Christ-like attitude. And opposition rightly acquired drives the persecuted to Jesus. You get closer to the Lord. Most of your friends are going to take off. I believe as the end comes, the persecuted will band together on their knees, faces wet with tears, love in their hearts and appreciation for the Lord Jesus Christ and His peace and His power and His joy and His love and appreciation for each other Oh God, how I appreciate the friends that I have. Do you really appreciate the friends you're really? I'm not talking about fair weather friends. I'm not talking about when the sun is out and the roses are. I'm talking about stormy weather Christians. Stormy weather, huh? Jesus will say, in persecution and in trials, in seeming defeat, my grace is sufficient. And I think this is why the church is always its very, very greatest, is when it's under persecution. By suffering, it has brought us closer to having a relationship to Jesus Christ, our suffering Savior. Unless you join in that, you'll never know Jesus. Persecution always serves to drive away the cowards. It sends away all those who are not willing to pay the price. In Acts, the persecuted church had a repelling power as well as an attracting power. It appealed to victorious hearts. In the end, when the battle gets to raging, it's going to have sort of an appeal to victorious hearts. And all the rest will be scared away. But that persecution I'm talking about tonight, let me wrap it up. That persecution I'm talking about tonight, the road, and it's a road, I think, to larger usefulness, purifies and it humbles and it sharpens our spiritual ears and eyes, our sense of God. You want to be more, then do more. Great moves are never made by huge numbers of people anyway. Just the commitment of a few. Dedication, determination, and saying, we're going to stand, having done all stand, like the Bible says. Persecution also gives Jesus free advertisement. Free press, free radio, free TV. Oh, what an opportunity we have right now with all that's happening on TV. Oh, if all the preachers would come together right now, not worry about prime time, not worry about the readings, and to say, we totally forgive each other, then the world would surely say, and the Bible says, they will only be persuaded, and that when they say, behold how they love one another. What an opportunity to say, I love you, I don't care what you did or what you are accused of doing, it doesn't matter. Love covers a multitude of sins, overlooks all things, bears all things, never takes into account a wrong suffered. What an opportunity right now to say, we were wrong. What a release that would be for all of us. In this whole scam right now, to say we were wrong. We totally forgive each other. Because that's how you're going to be forgiven. Father, forgive us our trespasses as we forgive those who trespass against us. How do we forgive them? How much mercy are we showing them? That's the same mercy and the same forgiveness we're going to get in the amount that we give out. Can you forgive? Can you say, I'm sorry, and, you know, put your arms around somebody right on TV? Oh, yay. Hey, don't worry about the ratings out there, guys. Just say, we were wrong. And the world would be persuaded to come to Jesus Christ. They might grumble at first for a couple of weeks or a year, who knows. But in the end, they'd say, well, I'm not afraid to join that group now. Because in the world, they're hanging out of trees now like monkeys taking pictures. Of the politicians, or the, you know, and they got a, you know, Colonel North up there, and here's a guy that he can't tell everything. He can't tell anything. How would you like to be Colonel North right now? How would you like to be President Reagan right now? How would you like to be Jim Baker right now? On the other hand, how would you like to be those that show no mercy towards them? want Jesus to step into the middle of that thing? You know how he would judge it? I made mistakes. I did wrong. You're forgiven. How about the rest of you in here? Now, I believe when we start living the Beatitudes, which we're all going to be called to do in the very end. Oh, yeah. All Christians, all churches, all professing Christians, Jesus is going to call us to share his character in the end. Don't worry what you have to say in the end. I'll give you what to say in the end, because my character will be in you. Don't worry what to say. I'll give you what to say. I'll be living in you. You'll make no promises that we'll get by with no suffering. No. There's never going to be a promise like that. I don't care who's preaching. Don't listen to them. It tells us that we will suffer, we'll be reviled, we'll die. But if that we will allow him to do his will through us, we can rejoice with the saints, the Bible says, because for his sake we are all counted, it says, worthy to suffer shame. Worthy. Ha! Worthy to suffer shame.
There you have it. That was the conclusion to episode 277. That was part 2 to Mount 6. Be sure to join us every Friday for part 1, every Sunday for part 2 of Pastor Paul's podcast. If you missed part 1, just go to www.pastorpaul.blogspot.com. There you're going to find all of Pastor Paul's podcasts, the show notes, and scripture links. Next Friday's message is salt. Have a great week. God bless you.
You may be an ambassador to England or France. You may like to gamble. You might like to dance. You may be the heavyweight champion of the world. You may be a socialite with a long string of pearls. But you're gonna have to serve somebody. Yes, indeed, you're gonna have to serve somebody. Well, it may be the devil, or it may be the Lord, but you're gonna have to serve somebody. Maybe a rock and roll addict prancing on the stage. Money, drugs at your command, women in a cage. You may be a businessman or some high degree thief. They may call you doctor, or they may call you chief. You're gonna have to serve somebody. Yes, you are. You're gonna have to serve somebody.
Serve somebody.
Well, it may be the devil or it may be the Lord, but you're gonna have to serve somebody.
Serve somebody.
It may be a state trooper. It may be a young Turk. Maybe the head of some bigger TV network. You may be rich or poor, you may be blind or lame, maybe living in another country under another name, but you're gonna have to serve somebody. Yes, you are, you're gonna have to serve somebody.
Serve somebody.
Well, it may be the devil, or it may be the Lord, but you're gonna have to serve somebody. Maybe a construction worker working on a home. Might be living in a mansion. You might live in a dome. You may own guns and you may even own tanks. You may be somebody's landlord. You may even own banks. But you're gonna have to serve somebody.
Serve
yes,
somebody.
You're gonna have to serve somebody.
Serve
You're gonna have to serve somebody.
Serve somebody.
You may be a preacher, preacher, spiritual. your pride. Maybe a city councilman taking bribes on the side. Maybe working in a barber shop, you may know how to cut hair. And maybe somebody's mistress, maybe somebody's heir. But you're gonna have to serve somebody. Yes, you're gonna have to serve somebody.
Serve somebody.
Well, it may be the devil, or it may be the Lord, but you're gonna have to serve somebody.
Serve somebody.
Might like to wear cotton, might like to wear silk, might like to drink whiskey, might like to drink milk. Might like to eat caviar, you might like to eat bread. Maybe sleeping on the floor, sleeping in a king-size bed. But you're gonna have to serve somebody.
Serve,
yes, indeed,
somebody.
You're gonna have to serve somebody.
Serve somebody.
Well, it may be the devil, or it may be the Lord, but you're gonna have to serve somebody. Bobby, or you may call me Zimmy, you may call me RJ, you may call me Ray, you may call me anything, no matter what you say, you're still gonna have to serve somebody.
Serve somebody.
Yes, you're gonna have to serve somebody.
Serve somebody.
Well, it may be the devil, and it may be the Lord, but you're gonna have to serve somebody.